Time has arrived. I'm convening the Labor Committee. My apologies, we do not have minutes of the previous meeting. Legislative assistant whose responsibility to produce those is out sick. So next Wednesday when we convene, we will have two sets of minutes. First up on the agenda today is Chair Mahoney with House File 772. The public building accessibility requirements are modified. And I will move that House File 772 be re-referred to Ways and Means. Representative Mahoney, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. This is House File 772. It is a updating of old language. It has been negotiated and all the stakeholders are supportive of it. The department has no problems with the language, and the disabled community is much more comfortable with this particular language than the old. What we did is, and if you look at the bill, page 1, line 6, I think, we strike provide for making and replace with require new. Page 1.1, line 7, we strike constructed or remodeled after July 63 and insert and remodel portions of existing buildings to be. And what this does is it just updates the language so that we're clearer on who, what, and where has to be accessible for handicapped or disabled people.
Thank you, Chair Mahoney. Do you have any testifiers to help you out with this heavy lift?
There are some people from the disabled community here, but they don't need to come up unless there's questions that I can't answer.
Okay, to the committee, if that's the case, are there any questions to the author or any interest in bringing testifiers up to weigh in on any of these issues? Any input from the general public? You're welcome to chime in at this point. Okay, hearing none, I'm going to want to renew my motion that House File 772 be re-referred to Ways and Means. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, committee members.
Next on the agenda is House File 2181. Representative Sandsted will move that House File, I will move that House File 2181 be re-referred to the General Register. I understand we have an A-19 amendment for this bill. Representative Sandsted, would you like to discuss this amendment?
The amendment, Mr. Chair, thank you, basically removes the notice of comment period from this bill, just that portion of the language.
Okay, I'll move the A-19-0208 amendment to 2181. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we have the bill. Representative Sandsted,
thank you, Mr. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 2181 is a bill that allows cities, townships, and counties to apply for a certification that designates a community as being telecommuter friendly. And to tell you a little bit more about that, I have a testifier, Brian Christensen.
Please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Brent Christensen, and I'm the president and CEO of the Minnesota Telecom Alliance. We're the trade association that represents rural broadband providers. I appreciate the opportunity to testify in favor of House File 2181. This bill creates a path for Minnesota cities, townships, and counties to seek certification from DEED. Communities can pursue telecommuter forward status by adopting a resolution that includes a statement of support and commitment to promote telecommuting. The resolution must also designate a single point of contact for telecommuting, coordinating telecommuting opportunities, and this resolution will contain responsibilities for that single point of contact including coordinating and partnering with telecommuting stakeholders and collaborating with broadband providers and employees. For communities that already have good broadband access, telecommuter forward status would help that community market itself. For communities that are still developing their broadband status or service, the process of seeking the designation will catalyze those efforts. This bill contains no appropriation, no mandate. It is totally optional, optional designation for any community that chooses to seek it. Mr. Chairman and members, economic development in rural Minnesota has changed. In small towns like the one I live in, we are no longer chasing 200 job factories. We are trying to recruit telecommuters to live in greater Minnesota, one and two jobs at a time, all the time. And we believe that the telecommuter forward status will help small towns like mine position themselves to enticing telecommuting. The MTA is looking forward to partnering with certified communities on a statewide basis for events as telecommuter forward, conferences and job fairs, and bringing together local, state, and national stakeholders. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I am happy to stand for any questions.
Thank you. To the committee, is there any questions for the testifier or the author of the bill? Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I understand how small towns work. Not too many people live in an area that has more small towns than I do. But that being said, I am a little concerned about the removal of the public comment provisions. How is that going to benefit the public?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Fabian, this bill is modeled after a bill from Wisconsin, and we took their language almost verbatim. And in Wisconsin, their version of our Office of Broadband Development is with their Public Utilities Commission. And so they had to have a notice of public comment period as part of that. In Minnesota, it's going to be part of the deed. So there isn't a requirement to have that. There's still going to be opportunities for the public to comment, but this amendment was to take out that language that mirrored Wisconsin's because it isn't needed here.
Representative Fabian.
Well, I was curious then, you know, we oftentimes hear somewhat sarcastically around here, oh, why would we ever want to compare to Wisconsin? but that being said, how is this working in Wisconsin?
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Christensen.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Fabian, their bill's been enacted for a year. They have 13 communities that are using it. We don't have any quantifiable data at this point that I can share specifics with you, but I can tell you, talking to my counterpart in Wisconsin, and Dana McKenzie's counterpart in Wisconsin, that it's been very successful in drumming up interest. As you know, in small towns, you know, they don't always think about telecommuting. They don't think about these things. And this is an opportunity for small towns to be able to really focus on it. So we're pretty excited about it.
Any other questions to this testifier? Representative Vogel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the testifier, I guess I'm curious how it will work in greater Minnesota relative to the metropolitan area, and I realize that there's a lot of discussion as far as broadband and extensions and so forth, but is there some way that flexibility is built in that if indeed they don't have the resources, they can still participate?
Mr. Christensen.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Vogel, absolutely. I live in a town of 2,300, okay? I would envision that our designated telecommuter forward person would either be the city administrator or the chamber director. It could be in just about anybody. It could even be the local broadband provider if the city so designates, or township or county. By adopting that resolution, they just have to designate one person. It could be anything, and it could be really any size. I really see this as geared more for small towns than metropolitan areas. I mean, those actions are already kind of happening in the metro area, but this is an opportunity for small towns to take advantage of something like this as well.
Representative Vogel.
So thank you, Mr. Chair. So would you see things like hotspots or satellite wireless, those type of things, filling the gap relative to what's necessary here to qualify?
Mr. Christensen.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Vogel, this is not focused on the technology. This is focused on the discussion around telecommuting. It could be all of the above or any of the above. It all depends on what works in that community. And that's the nice thing, I think, the kind of cool part about this, is this is flexible enough that you can use any technology, you can use And you could have any scale of technology available in your community. I mean, I really see this, as I said in my testimony, if a community doesn't have good broadband, this is a way to start that conversation and to get them talking about it. If they do have good broadband, like my members have, then it's a way to showcase it and promote it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. We also have with us Dana McKenzie, Executive Director of the Office of Broadband Development within the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development. Is Dana McKenzie here?
Mr. Chair, Dana is not available to join us today.
Well, thank you, Representative Sandstedt. If she were here, what might she say?
Mr. Chair and members, I won't even pretend to speak for Dana McKenzie, but in our conversation, she has been supportive of this bill. Just to clarify, this is an optional designation for communities. It's in the teacher world, I say it's a little gold star after their name that identifies them as a community who's committed to working with telecommunications, and it's a means, one option of trying to attract business into their communities for the purpose of diversifying or expansion.
Thank you very
much.
Those
are my words, Mr. Chair, not Dana McKenzie's.
Absolutely, understood. Thank you. Any comments from the general public? Okay. The motion here is to, where are we at? Okay. Any further comments? I'm going to renew the motion to House File 2181 be referred to Ways and Means. General Register.
A typo on my part.
That's a typo.
Yes, sorry.
That's the first time it's ever happened.
Okay. I just noticed that.
Okay.
General Register.
I will renew my motion that House File 2181 be referred to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion passes.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda, Ms. Franzen?
Yeah.
Okay. Representative Sandell. Yeah. Representative Sandell, I will move that House File 2068 be referred to the Ways and Means. Now that the bill is before us, please proceed, Representative Sandell.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I appreciate the chance to talk with you today and encourage your support for House File 2068. The bill provides grandparents the opportunity to be away from work for up to 16 hours over a 12-month period to attend a grandchild's school conference if it's not possible to arrange those meetings at an alternative time. It's a privilege already provided in Minnesota law for a child's parents. The bill does not require that the leave be paid, except that an employee may substitute any accrued paid vacation leave or other appropriate paid leave for any part of the leave under this bill. Over the last 50 years, there have been profound changes in family structures that have altered the way many families organize to raise their children. Family forms have diversified for a variety of reasons. Today, almost 3 million grandparents in the United States have the primary responsibility for raising one or more of their grandchildren. The National Institute of Health estimates that 6.5 million children in the U.S. currently live with at least one grandparent. That's approximately 9% of all children in the country, and more than half of those not living with their parents. While some of those households are transitory, the large majority of custodial grandparents in the U.S. have been responsible for their grandchildren for at least a year, with nearly 2 in 5 having been responsible for over a period of 5 years. This bill will make it easier for Minnesota's grandparents to participate more fully in the lives of their grandchildren, so I hope you will respond to this compelling testimony and support House File 2068. Hopefully send it on to Ways and Means and perhaps to the Jobs Committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Sandell. No testifiers for this bill?
No, actually, Chair Dabney asked if I would carry this bill, and I certainly responded enjoyed the opportunity. I asked him if he knew who had brought the bill to the legislature, and he was unsure. I contacted the Department of Education, and they didn't know. I contacted Education Minnesota, and they hadn't seen the bill. I tried to contact AARP, but they did not respond to continued telephone calls and emails. I had imagined that I would show a slide of probably the most familiar grandchild with his grandparents, Barack Obama, who were custodial grandparents for a number of times, and I thought of showing pictures of my own grandchildren, but decided I wouldn't do that.
Thank you for saving us. My grandchildren are better looking, I'm certain.
Thanks.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Sandell, you know, I spent 35 years teaching and coaching. I had kids of my own, and I'm now a grandparent. I'm concerned that in an attempt to do something that's, I'll say, noble or well-intentioned, I am concerned about in the bill on line 1.8 and 1.9, where you can attend school conferences or school-related activities that are related to the child or the grandchild. What's the definition of school-related activities?
Representative Sandell.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Fabian. I respect your question, and I think that it's a good one, and one might be considered and perhaps defined differently. From my point of view, I guess a school-related activity would not only be a parents' conference, but perhaps a musical event, dramatic event, a performance of some kind. I don't think I would include in that, at least it wouldn't be my assumption, that it would be an athletic event like a basketball game or football game.
Representative Fabian.
Mr. Chair, I didn't catch the last sentence that you said. You didn't think it would include?
Well, I do not think it would include a basketball game or a football game.
Representative Fabian.
So, thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, that's kind of where I'm going too, and I don't see the language in here either that addresses where the child is living, say in my house, or I'm living in the child's house. So my grandchildren live 110 miles away from me and 320 miles away from me. Is my employer required then to turn me loose, let me go from work, so that I can drive 320 miles down here to the metro area to go to, I think you said, a musical event or something like that? Is that what you're intending?
Mr. Chair, and Representative Fabian. No, yeah, I did some research when I agreed to take on this bill, and the term custodial grandparent is used frequently. There's a lot of literature, both academic literature which comes from the government and also from organizations like AARP, which endorse and support the rights of grandparents. But the bill, I think, from my interpretation, refers to a custodial grandparent, the individual who is primarily responsible for the care of the child.
Representative
Fabian. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Sandell, I don't want to put you on the spot, but so can Mr. Weeks help me out? I mean, is Section 181 or 119B, where is that addressed in the bill on the custodial part? And I mean no disrespect.
None taken.
Mr. Weeks.
Chair, Representative Fabian, so grandchild isn't defined in statute, and school-related activities is also not defined in statute. So I looked briefly if there was judge-made law on this, but I didn't see anything. So it would be up to a court to interpret.
Thank you, Mr. Weeks. Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Sandell, I mean, I like your general intention of what you're doing here, but this is written extremely broadly. I would encourage you to work on it, to really focus it on where you want to go with this and get some amendments drafted and make the bill work. As it sits right now, I don't know what the intention is here. You're obviously going to move it, and I hope it's just a voice vote. I don't want to vote against grandparents, but
Ways and Means and then Jobs is the intention here. Representative Detmer.
Yep. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Sandell, it's a good bill, but I can always say if I would write it, okay, I can just give you some advice that it probably should be focused on grandparents who are our guardians and that are raising the grandchildren, because that happens a lot in different areas of the state. So I would say it would be probably more applicable if you would focus on grandparents who are maybe guardians or and then are more significantly involved in their grandchildren education and upbringing. So that's the way I would write it. So.
Representative Sandell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Detmer. I'm happy to do that. I appreciate the suggestions that both you and Representative Fabian have made, and I'm quite happy to go back and take a closer look at this. Mr. Chair, would you suggest that I ask the Revisor's Office to help draft amendments? Would that be appropriate?
I believe that would be a terrific idea.
And then could I bring it back to you, would the approach be to go to Ways and Means, or what would be best?
My intention today is to forward this to Ways and Means and then have that ready when you hit the Jobs Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I recommend that. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, just want to point out that the only new language in this section in this bill is the adding the or grandchild in three different spots. The rest of the language, including the school-related activities, is current law that's concurrent statute. And so only thing we're changing is adding the grandchild or the grandparent to be able to avail themselves of this time off to go to these events. And I hope that if the intention is that just custodial grandparents or all grandparents be able to take time off to go see an event. But like I said, the only part of the new law is adding the grandchild. The rest of this is all existing law. And if it's not defined in current statute, it hasn't been defined in current statute as long as this law has been on the books. So.
Thank you. Representative Sandell?
Mr. Chair, thank you. Representative Nelson is correct. I did go back the first one. When I initially saw this bill, I went back and took a look at the previous statute, and Representative Nelson is correct.
Any further input from the committee? Any input from the general public? I will say, and I believe any educator in the room can attest to this as well, when there's family involvement in the educational process, the child benefits greatly, you know, with support from the family. So I thank you for this.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Fabian.
I've seen some parents and families at hockey games, for example, where the child may be not benefiting from that. But I'm just saying.
Been there, done that. Thank you, Representative Fabian. I'm going to renew the motion that House File 2068 be referred to Ways and Means. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion thereby passes. We have Representative Fabian will pitch it for Representative Mary Franzen on the lawnmower bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I'll withdraw my pitch hitting.
Welcome to the committee, Representative Franzen. And I will move that House File 790 be laid over. We have that motion before us. Please proceed, Representative Franzen.
Hi, thank you for this opportunity. I'm so sorry I was late. I was doing an interview with MnPOS event. Another meeting after that, so I thought I had a little longer, and then I ran, so I'm a little out of breath. So House File 790 clarifies that push lawnmowers and self-propelled lawnmowers, ride-on lawnmowers, lawn trimmers, and weed cutters are not prohibited machinery under Minnesota Rules Part 5200.0910, and that 16 and 17-year-old minors may lawfully operate or assist in the operation of those machines. So currently, I have two boys still at home, and my 13-year-old is itching for a job, okay? He cannot wait to earn his first paycheck. And currently, he is working at a ski hill, Andy Ski Hill. He does not get paid due to his age, and he's just, he's a snowboard instructor, and he loves it. And he does get his snowboard pass is taken care of because he's an instructor out there. But he turns 14 in July, and he cannot wait to be bagging groceries or finding somewhere else where he can earn a paycheck. And I know that once he turns 16, he is going to be wanting to do a little bit more. And we are a golfing family, okay? And I think that he would love to be able to utilize some skills that he has learned while lawn mowing his dad's lawn to work on a golf course. And with that, I am going to transition to one of my constituents. Remember, I do represent the best. And I have one of them here to my left, Tom, and he is the owner of a Miltona Golf Course.
Good afternoon, Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Tom Blank. I'm the owner-operator of Lake Miltona Golf Club for the past 23 years. I'm here representing the Minnesota Golf Course Superintendents Association in support of HF 790 and the clarification of that law allowing 16 and 17-year-olds to operate those equipment mentioned by Representative Franson. I do hire 16 and 17-year-olds on the grounds crew, but they're doing changing the cups, doing the garbage, and they're constantly asking me to mow, and I tell them they can't do that till they're 18. And it gets to be a labor issue with me. We're out in Alexandria, and I employ 6 to 10 people, but my pool is mainly young adults, which are 18 that can mow, and retirees. And those young adults that are 18, we usually get them for probably 1 year, two at the most, because it's usually their summer after graduation that they're mowing. And once they hit college, something else comes along. So I'm always training new people and looking for new people. It would be nice to get those 16, 17-year-olds to operate mowers. It gives them more duties to do on the golf course. Because right now, like I said, the 16, 17-year-olds are changing cups, doing garbages. They're there for a couple hours a day. Whereas if I can put them on a mower, I can keep them there for 6-7 hours and hopefully keep them for 5 to 6 years from 16 and keep them there while they're in college and maybe keep them into this profession, on the grounds crew, things like that. So, and like I said, it's just keeping those employees. Labor is a big issue in the golf industry, just like it is in just about every industry these days. And it's progressively gotten worse in the last, well, the 23 years that I've owned my own course. And I did run another one down in Montevideo for 18 years prior to that. So it's been a long career for me in the golf business. And labor is the biggest problem that I've looked at and been faced with through all these years. But with that, I would like to say thank you for the opportunity to speak to you, Chairman, and the rest of the committee members.
Questions from the committee? We have Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Blank, thanks for coming today. Comment might be careful what you ask for. Have you checked in with what your workman comp rates would be for 16-year-olds riding lawnmowers, and also how would it affect your insurance for having 16-year-olds riding lawnmowers?
That I have not
Mr.
checked.
Blank.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair and Representative. That I have not checked into. So I don't have a definitive answer on that for you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would advise checking into that. These rules are made for a reason. Protect our children, and it might not be real conducive to your business.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Blank, thanks for being here. Representative Franson, thanks for bringing the bill forward. I started working on this 2 years ago because I spent 20 years managing the golf course in Rosewood during the summer months when I was teaching school, coaching track and cross country. You know, Representative Eklund says that these rules are written for a reason, and that's exactly the reason for the bill, is because the rules are not written correctly. If you read the statute, okay, I believe that this is allowed, letting 16 and 17-year-olds. No minor under the age of 18 shall be employed to operate or assist in the operation of power-driven machinery, including but not limited to industrial trucks, which is a forklift, meat saws, meat grinders, milling machines, punch presses, press brakes, and shears, and woodworking machinery, such as circular saws, radial saws, joiners, and shaping machines. Then also, In the next section of statute, 5200.920, prohibited employment of minors under 16. So 17 and 18-year-olds, it says, in addition to the restrictions under 52, whatever, no minor under the age of 16 may be employed, okay, in airport landing strips, taxis, and so forth, and it goes through a list. Farm tractors and other self-employed vehicles, self-propelled vehicles, except those under either the 4-H Federal Extension Service, or, and it goes on and on. Sidewalk-type snow blowers and other power-driven garden are not considered this type of stuff. Okay? Yeah, for six. This is for 16 and under. So if you're over 16, if you are 17 and 18, 16 and 17, excuse me, this is already permitted. And so what we're trying to do is clarify the statute. And to the point of work comp and insurance, I appreciate that. I truly do. But let's let the cities and privately owned golf courses and municipally owned golf courses and so forth make that decision for themselves. Mr. Chair, I am sure that if you and I had a conversation at the Tin Cup again, and I asked you what you were doing when you were 14 and 15, listen, I know what my kids were doing when they were 10 years old, okay? I think that people can make really good, sound decisions to protect kids. We have safety equipment on mowers. The chutes are covered. The belts are all covered. The Toro Groundmaster's mowers are fantastic, made right here in Minnesota. And the other thing is that this is an opportunity for young kids to learn something, learn responsibility, make a little bit more money, and actually get them employed and get some consistency in your employment. Parks, golf courses, airports, these types of places are great places for 16 and 17-year-olds to work. So I would encourage us to, yeah. And then the Dolly webpage, it says on their webpage, okay, and I've been going through this for 2 years, can I hire the 14-year-old neighbor to mow my lawn? Yes, chores commonly done around the home are considered home chores and are exempt from child labor laws. However, firms or companies that are hiring individuals to do similar jobs for their company may not hire a 14-year-old to mow the lawn. That's a 14-year-old. Okay? Minors younger than 16, okay? Minors younger than 16 cannot use power-driven lawn equipment such as lawn mowers, weed whips, and so forth. That's in the statute. That's on the Dolly website. And I've been going round and round on this, and I talked to the Department of Labor and Industry, and they assured me that they were going to look into this and get the rules to sync up with the statutes, and they haven't done it yet. So, Representative Franson, thank you for bringing the bill forward. I think this is a real common sense bill, especially when you took a look at the rules and stuff, the way they're written on the Dolly website. Mr. Chair, let's put those 16 and 17-year-olds to work on this. Good job.
Thank you, Representative Fabian. I didn't hear a question in there, but I see Mr. Blank is ready with a response.
Yeah, and this is, and Mr. Chair and the committee and Mr. Representative, they can operate these. It's just a clarification of the bill. I've been to like the Minnesota Golf Course Superintendent Association meetings and workshops and small group discussions. Some courses are having 16, 17 years. I was under the impression that you couldn't. That's why I didn't all these years. And I'd err on the side of safety there. Wasn't active in the association for all those years because my kids and that took precedence. But now that my kids are graduated from college, I'm getting active in this and finding out more and more about this. So it is just a clarification on the categorization of this equipment.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Representative Nelson, Chair Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members, and to the testifier. I, too, have some concerns about the safety, but I think it can get worked out. I mean, I come out of the construction industry. There's a lot of power tools, a lot of power-driven equipment that I wouldn't want some 18-year-olds. In fact, there are some 50-year-olds I wouldn't want driving work with some of that stuff, some of the stuff that I've seen on job sites. But anyway, besides that, the question I really have has to do with this bill and the part about the rules. And is this going to go to government operations? Because if this were to get put in an omnibus bill coming out of this committee,
as it is written, because we're dealing with the rules. Anything the rules has to go to GovOps before second reading, or it can't be passed. That's going to be taken out of it. So that's just my question. Former GovOps chair, is just something I caught when I'm reading the bill, and it might be something that if we're going to lay it over for possible inclusion, that it might have to get sent there. Your whole bill might have to get sent there, and it's past deadlines.
I hear an inkling that this wants to be heard in GovOps. Before we change the motion or anything like that, I understand the Department of Labor and Industry is in the room. Would they like to weigh in on this?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Fabian.
I was going to check with Mr. Weeks, you know, under the good cause exemption. And Chair Nelson, you know more about GovOps than I do. That would be one of the most painful committees to ever be on. I've been there a couple of times.
This process isn't meant to be easy.
Messy.
Please identify yourself and weigh in on the issue.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. My name is James Kruger, and I'm the Workplace Safety Program Director for the Department of Labor and Industry. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today on House File 790. Minnesota law prohibits minors under the age of 18 from working in hazardous occupations, and Minnesota rules prohibit the employment of minors under the age of 18 from operating or assisting in the operation of power-driven machinery. Young workers are vulnerable to workplace injuries, in part due to lack of adequate personal protective equipment and lack of training. Lawn mower operation is dangerous. I'd like to share a few examples that illustrate the risks. In the last 5 years, Minnesota OSHA program has investigated 2 serious injuries and 3 fatalities related to lawnmower operation. These are specifics as follows. Serious injury, an employee was mowing a ditch. The employee was walking behind the mower, push mower down an embankment. When the employee slipped, the employee pushed the mower handle up, causing the mower to lift off the ground. A toe had to be amputated. Another serious injury, employee was performing maintenance. Employee grabbed the mower deck with his left hand while his right hand was located on the mower's handle. The employee's left hand was under the deck while the mower was running. Employee had 3 fingers amputated. I'd like to discuss 3 fatalities that we've investigated. Employee was operating a riding lawnmower, mowing a vacant lot in a residential neighborhood. While mowing, the employee hit a branch. The mower continued to run while the employee's throat was on a tree branch. The employee died from asphyxiation. Fatality number 2, employee was mowing the grass at the cemetery. The employee was using a riding lawnmower. While cutting around a tree, the metal canopy on the lawnmower contacted the main limb of the tree, causing the trunk to split and the limb branches landed on the employee. The employee died from the impact of the tree. The last fatality, an employee was mowing on a sloped hill on a riding lawnmower near an approximate 3-foot retaining wall. The mower went over the edge of the retaining wall. The mower rolled onto the employee. The employee died. While these are examples, they're not specific to teenagers. I share them to point out to the potential for serious injury and death from lawnmower operation. Because of these safety concerns, the department respectfully opposes House File 790. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Greer. Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Greer, what were the ages of the victims in these horrible tragedies?
I don't have that information.
Can you get that for us?
We'd appreciate that further information.
Mr. Chair, members, we can look into the detail of that.
Thank you. Representative Frenzen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To that, I would say these are horrible stories.
Yep.
They're awful stories. But we have kids who are allowed to drive with a permit, drive a car, a vehicle, at the age of 15. And at the age of 16, they're able to get a car. And while that these stories are horrible, 16-year-olds have the same incidences, horrible incidences of driving and having accidents as well. And it would be my hope, and I am certain that our business owners that wanted to, they don't have to, but wanted to employ a 16-year-old on their site would be giving them ample training, because they certainly do not want any harm to come upon a child while they're working or at any time of their life. But this is about just training, helping the workforce, and allowing our students, our kids, to get excellent work history and some quality training from business owners that want to invest in them.
Thank you, Representative Franzen. Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, first of all, I'm really looking forward to the ages of the victims of these and also the years. And then can you get us how many man hours, employee hours have been generated by people riding mowers around the state of Minnesota?
Mr. Chair, members. With that, the data that Minnesota OSHA would have available, we would have the age. We would not have any man hours, anything like that, that we would able to grab.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I go back to the statutes, and you mentioned power-driven machinery. Again, you list a whole bunch of things here, but you don't list lawnmowers. But later on in statute, you mentioned mowers for those who are 14 and under 16. We've been talking about this for 2 years. I'm sorry, members. There's not much shoe polish left on the toes of their shoes from dragging their feet on this issue. No one wants people to get hurt in any place. 15-year-olds, 14-year-olds ride motorcycles and dirt bikes. Do some bad things happen to some people? Absolutely. But to prohibit, I mean, to me, Mr. Chair, this is just silliness. I've seen all kinds of responsible young kids riding lawnmowers at golf courses all over northern Minnesota. Can you give me an example of as 16 or 17-year-old who's been injured while riding a lawnmower and operating a lawnmower?
Mr. Greer?
Mr. Chair and members, as I stated, I do not have that data of the ages of these with me.
Okay, that said, any further comments from the committee? Representative Vogel.
Mr. Chair, to the testifier, you know, the workers' comp was brought up. Curious what type of relationship or conversation you have with those companies, because I would assume that the workers' comp company is not going to want people riding lawnmowers that aren't capable of doing it either, which becomes kind of a control mechanism. Does that have any bearing with the way OSHA looks at it when you have somebody that's actually financially responsible for an accident underwriting it?
Mr. Greer.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, from that, Minnesota OSHA obviously enforces the OSHA standards where we look into specifically the fatalities that occur here in the state of Minnesota. With that, we look to our standards and have to make sure that those are followed. We do not go with sources into, you know, looking at other alternatives unless it would be apparent, you know, to make a referral to another agency.
Representative Vogel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And relative to this, you know, we're constantly talking about a labor shortage, especially in what you might look at as manual trade areas. And I can respect that we have government agencies that are trying to protect people. They should. But by the same token, when we get overly restrictive, not only don't we build that labor force, but we don't let these people learn how to work. And I think that's the key here is that, you know, we need our government agencies, and I'm not criticizing OSHA for doing a bad job, but I think there has to be a conversation so that we get to reality here. Because if the workers' comp company is comfortable with these people doing it, and they're the ones that are going to be ultimately responsible for paying settlements if indeed they're not, there's an injury, then I think we need some conversations between those people and our regulatory agencies, because we're really short of a workforce. And you learn to work when you're 15, 16, 17, 18 years old. That's when you set the work ethic in a person. And I can talk from experience now and say it's hard to get people to show up for an interview, much less show up for their job. So this goes a little deeper than just saying I don't think it's a good idea. It's looking at the good of our workforce and how we're developing young people. So I know that's not a question, Mr. Chair, but I do think that we as legislators have to look at the whole picture here when we're doing things like this, because it's easy to say no. It's harder to say yes. But if we feel that we've got the safeguards in place, then maybe sometimes we have to let people grow into things. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Zhang.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the testifiers and maybe Representative Fabian, I wasn't here 2 years ago, so I don't know what you the conversation was, but I'm just curious, since these are employees that you will be employing who are under age 18, I'm just wondering what would be the insurance be like for liability, and would they be covered if this was to be brought forward, and would is this like a risk you would be willing to take on as an employer for liability?
Mr. Blake?
Yeah, Mr. Chair and Representative, yeah, it's a that puts us on the business owner just training employees. You know, and my employees, they're like family to me. I'm looking out for them as best can, and, you know, if something comes up they need to go, they're off and doing it. But, yeah, we look out for them. We sit down and go through the machines. And like Representative Fabian said, on the equipment, the safety things on the equipment, they even catch me yet. You know, you've got safety suites, our safety switches on seats. The blades shut off automatically if you step off of it. You can't have it. It takes two hands to do things sometimes on some machines to activate things. There's a lot of safety things, and it's, you know, I'm saying this personally, it's, to me, it's gotten worse over the last 40 years because it's multiple steps. I shouldn't say worse, but it's multiple steps to keep people safe. And the insurance side, like I said, it's a clarification of this. So there are golf courses that are hiring 16, 17-year-olds to do that. I chose not to because I thought that was the law. I have not had that conversation with my insurance man. We've talked about hiring. My insurance man, I've hired his daughter. She worked for me for 6 years in the clubhouse, not on the grounds crew, though.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Representative Chair.
Representative,
I think I just also wanted to comment this notion that somehow we can let 15, 16-year-olds drive should be the same reason why we should allow them to do this. I think it's a very dangerous comment because 15, 16-year-olds have to go to driving school. They have to get insurance. And we all know studies show that they are one of the more dangerous drivers out there. And I think this is also the very concern that we're bringing forward here with this, is that if we, especially as an employer, if you were to employ 15, 16-year-olds, there's a lot of risk that's coming with this. And we have to take that into consideration when we're trying to craft laws. We also want to be protective. I'm not against, you know, making sure that your kids have the opportunity to be employed, but what I am very concerned is the safety for these kids, especially when you're talking about young kids, allowing them to operate machines. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Franzen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to that comment, thank you, Representative. I would say that the business owner themselves could make that determination whether or not they wanted to employ that age group, and we should allow business owners to make those decisions and maybe less decision-making by us lawmakers here saying what's appropriate and what's not.
Thank you. Mr. Kerr.
Mr. Chair, members, the one thing I would like to add about machinery, and this is I've been working with the OSHA program about 26 years. Unfortunately, I've dealt with about 700 fatalities throughout my career. That's about 30 a year and over that time frame. Many of these machinery that we do see is old machinery, so don't assume there's safeguards on anything. It may not be there. It may be something that was there when my dad used it. I can't. That's how regulations are written, so people do use that yet today. We need to make sure that that's safe. We will enforce the standards we have. I have seen in many times that equipment is bypassed, and employees, whether it's a machine, a punch press, anything like that, they do lose hands even with that. So there are risks even with the safeguards you have. even today, they can be bypassed. And please, you know, I look at this every time my son or daughter leaves. You know, those are things that we want to make sure they're safe, make sure they're using the guards. And I'm just going to bring that up as everyone here. Please help us do that, because that does start at home, and we need to continue to do that.
Thank you, Mr. Greer. Mr. Blank?
Yep. Thank you, Chair and members. Getting back, we're not looking at 15-year-olds on this, on the golf course. And in regards to, as a business owner, those individuals operating this, I've hired 16, 18-year-olds to change cups, and I've had to terminate them because they just don't know how to do that. Grabbing the garbage, it takes them 4 hours to do that when it should only take them two. As a business owner, I'm looking out for me on that end. You know, if they can't do it, I'm not going to hire them to do that. Excuse me. So if I get an individual that wants a job and I hire him and it just doesn't feel right, I won't put him on that machine. He'll get delegated to the garbage and things like that, maybe transition him out on his own, knowing that he's only getting 2 hours now or 3 hours instead of 8 hours a day. But it's, like I said, I look at people as there's nothing more important to me than my family, and I treat them as family. But I'm on the lookout for them, and that's me personally as a business owner. I'm going to look out for what's best for them. And their safety is my priority.
Mr. Greer.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members, the only thing I'd like to add with timing, I haven't, in part of my career, had where a fatality where someone was on 2 hours as an adult operating a forklift and was crushed. With that was a person that was seasoned, had learned how to run a forklift. So there are things that go on out there. Not every business owner is a good business owner.
Thank you, Mr. Greer. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Franson. I don't know if I agree with this or not, but I think it's something we need to look into. The question I had earlier about the rules and the rules committee or the government ops committee, but the question concern I had is some of the conversation here about hiring and opening up more professions for young people. We have child labor laws for a purpose, because in the past, children were exploited. They weren't in school. We have laws in the books that people under 14 can only work so many hours a day, so many hours a week. And so it's the concern I have is that we're maybe going down a slippery slope of thinking we need to open up more professions. And I'm not saying this is one that's problematic, but I'm saying opening up more professions for people, that we're going to turn back the clock and be back where we have 14, 15, even 10-year-olds working in some of these factories. And because if we're using the excuse we have a diminishing labor force, I have problems with that argument.
Thank you. Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To Mr. Gers commented about the forklift, that's why the forklift is in the statute. Okay? I get that. This, you know, we talked about businesses and so forth. This issue was first brought to me by the city of Warroad, because who can they find to mow in the summer, just for the summer months? Students are the natural choice. Or who else is it going to be? Old guys like me. And I want to give these young men and women an opportunity to work for $15 an hour working for the city. Or working for Mr. Blank. And when you first said your name, I thought maybe you were reading a canned, hi, my name is Tom Blank. And I thought it was, you know, like Blank. So this was first brought to me by the city of Warroad. Come on up to where I live. And people care about people. We're not going to put people on junk equipment. Come out to the golf course in Rosa or go over to Greenbush. This is all nice Toro stuff that's made right here in Minnesota. And members, remember, this is already happening around the state, because the law is clear in that it is allowed, but the department is saying somehow that it's not, and we're trying to harmonize things here. This is going to continue the practice that we're talking about, because it is not prohibited. So I'm all for training, I'm all for safety, I'm all for that stuff, but I'm also for helping out our small communities all across Minnesota that are really struggling trying to find people to work. And this is just, for us, Living where I live, this is common sense. Kids are driving tractors on the farm and combines that are worth $500,000.
That's true.
And I'm sorry, we're kind of digressing here, but we run chainsaws. How many kids do you know that, Representative Eklund, that run chainsaws out in the woods with their dads and their grandpas? Lots of them that are 15 and 16 year old. So thank you. We live in a different world, don't we?
Yes, you do, Representative.
I feel real uncomfortable in this suit. I really have
their hole in my snowmobile. Okay. This is a great discussion. Any other input from the general public? Yeah. Representative Franzen, you get the last word on this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And definitely to Representative Fabian. This was his bill in the past, and we discussed it, so thank you. But he makes up very good points. We just want to line up with what's already in law and have clarification. And I thought that this was, the chair had said he wanted 10 minutes top on this topic, and we've gone way beyond that, which I'm surprised about as well. But I thank you for the time, and I hope that we can come to a consensus that says, you know what, it's already in statute, so let's at least allow Dolly or have Dolly line up their words with what they're telling people to what's already in statute.
At the recommendation of a more senior legislator, I'm going to change my motion, and my motion will now be to refer House File 790 to Government Ops for further review. No, directly to GovOps. So you can do some more homework and get together on this.
Otherwise, it's dead.
I will be supporting that motion, of course. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? You're on your way. Thank you. We are adjourned.